Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. As it is the 3 o'clock hour, we are Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. I've got a very special guest, John Driscoll. I'm just going to call him a CEO with the mostest. He's done it all. He knows a ton about what it means to run a successful corporation. And he's got a book coming out. It's going to be available December 3rd. You can pre-order on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the places where you get your favorite reading materials. I know I've got a copy on order already. His book is called Pay the People, Why Fair Pay is Good for Business and Great for America, which he co-wrote with another one of my very favorite guests, Morris Pearl. Thanks so much for making time, John. I want to jump in and ask you a question. That I think, you know, coming off the front page of the news today, and that is we've got this longshoreman strike going on up and down the eastern seaboard. We saw the UAW strike last year. J.P. Morgan estimating that the longshoreman strike basically shutting down imports and exports on the eastern seaboard will cost the U.S. economy somewhere north of $5 billion a day. President Biden has refused to intercede, citing profits of the shipping companies at over an 800% boom since COVID. In other words, the corporations that pay the longshoremen have been making money hand over fist. And the longshoremen, one of their demands has been for effectively a 75% wage increase, phased in over a number of years. Their corporate employers saying they'll give them 50%. I just wanted to get your take on that. It seems that there are more of these collective actions occurring that are garnering some pretty big headlines and having some significant impacts on the cost of goods here in the United States.
No, I Maggie, the it's really hard to overestimate how hard workers like the longshoremen worked during a time like COVID. And so it's really hard to not, once you realize that, begrudge them a pay increase. And the companies are talking about a pay increase. You know, the difference between the give and the get of that demand and what they're being offered feels like something that management should be able to gap. I mean, but we've gone through a long period where working class people have leaned in. And honestly, profits have grown and the economy's grown. So it shouldn't surprise us that in certain areas that workers are standing up and making sure they get recognized for the investment they make. And I think that at least from my perspective, I think that President Biden is sensible. But I can't imagine that with that the longshoremen aren't going to get a little bit more for standing up for their right to be paid fairly. And it's particularly a time when inflation often in wages hasn't met up with inflation in costs. And you see that in corporate profits. So I think there's more to go around.
Yeah, thanks for that, John. That has been my take. When I started to run some of the numbers and dig in when the UAW were striking, it's pretty shocking. And arguments along the lines of they can't actually afford to do that, largely untrue. They absolutely can afford to do that. They just prefer not to. And I think your point as a capitalist, as a CEO, as a businessman, that it is incredibly short-sighted to not want to pay workers for their real economic contribution to the profitability of the business isn't the right business approach. I wanted to ask you a follow-up question because all of this seems to run together with how our tax system is structured. We talked earlier this week with Representative Summer Lee, who just introduced the American Stability Act. And folks, if you're listening and you want to catch that, you can find that episode from Monday if you go to civicmedia.us. Part of the American Sustainability Act is not only the idea of this basically calculated sustainability wage, which is you're willing to work 40, 50 hard hours of work. We're going to calculate what it costs to live, housing, healthcare, insurance, transportation, you know, and we'll do the math. But that if you are just making an annualized stability wage, which is somewhere in the ballpark of $40,000 a year, none of that should be taxed. In other words, that there should be a cost of living exemption for people that are making $40,000 or less, and that those tax revenues would be made up by a surcharge on people making $1 million or a year or more. What does that sound to you? Does this seem like a good idea as a capitalist and a CEO?
Maggie, there's no question. It sounds like a good idea to me as a capitalist, because we've got sort of, I mean, the American Stability Act is aimed at the instability people feel about our extraordinarily unequal distribution of assets and income. And at a minimum, in order to fix that, I think we need to give working class people who make less than $40,000 a year a tax break. That's what the tax exemption is aimed at. And certainly we've taken taxes on millionaires from 92% to 40% to 20%. Right now, millionaires and billionaires pay less in taxes on a percentage than most working and middle class workers. Right. That's crazy, particularly when the top 1% used to own about, if you get about 9% of what's available, and now they're closer to 26% 20 years later. We've got an unequal, unsustainable society, and that's why people are angry and aggrieved. The American Stability Act can return us to some elemental element of fairness and give middle-class people a shot at being more part of the American dream.
Yeah, it's been one of the most consistently disturbing themes from some on the far right to suggest to people who have a very real and valid intuition that they're getting screwed, to suggest that that's because of immigrants. It's not. It is because the tax system and our wage structure is structured to exploit and frankly screw over, if you will, middle class and working people. And if you're making $250,000 a year, I'm also talking about you too. If you get a paycheck, we're talking about you. Last thoughts, John, before we have to close out our segment today.
Maggie, it's time to pay the people. That's why we wrote the book. We are that the peak purchasing power of minimum wage was in 1968. We didn't crash the economy then, and that would get you about $15 an hour. Let's bring back a living wage and return growth and fairness to the American economy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. That's John Driscoll, former CEO of CareCentrix, chairman of Magnet Global, and chairman of Waystar, a $4.5 billion healthcare software company. That's going to do it for today's episode of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. When we return, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us, candidate for the 8th Congressional District. We'll talk about her debate last Friday. Keep it locked.